All right, guys. I don't know. A couple months ago, we did a worship night called Run to You, and we had a theme about that. We're going to take off on that and go a little bit deeper and talk more about what it means to really connect with God and really run to God. So I wanted to start with some ideas about running. When I was a kid, some of the favorite things I liked to do were play tag on the playground. Any of you guys like playing tag when you were a kid on the playground? And there's lots of variations of tag. You can play freeze tag. We used to play a thing called TV tag. There's all different kinds of ways to do that. I also was, when I was in middle school and high school, I was in track and ran the mile and mile relay. More of a long distance runner myself, but not necessarily like some of you cross country people. Yeah, so anybody like dig on some cross country? Anybody track in the PA? Anybody like to run in the room? Yeah, some of you? Okay, sure. Because those running moments are more fun, okay? But I do have a few running moments that were not as fun. Like when I was young, I got in trouble, and my mom was very upset with me, and apparently I was being very disobedient. And she's like, wait till your dad comes home. He is going to spank you. So I'm not sure why she couldn't do it, but apparently she wanted a little more force. So I'm in fear, and I run, and I go hide under the bed. And I'm freaked out that dad's going to, like, really hurt me this time. You know, my dad wasn't abusive or anything, but just I didn't want to get spanked. So running to hide is another kind of running. Or running because you're being chased, right? Maybe not playing tag, maybe because somebody is after you, right? So we have lots of different kinds of running. I wanted to start with two stories from the Bible that talk about running. Here's one that happened on one of the first Easter mornings, okay? You guys remember the story of Easter? Jesus dies on the cross, they put him in a tomb, and 3 days later, they come, and the tomb is empty. This is that story, okay? It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance, okay? That's kind of freaky, right? Why is somebody messing with somebody else's grave? Right? So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. How would you feel if someone you loved and cared about had died, and they had put them in the ground at the cemetery, and then you come back, and the tombstone has been moved? That's weird. Let alone the grave had been opened and the body's gone. That's kind of freaky. That sounds like a really bad horror movie, right? One, you might be offended and upset, and two, maybe a little freaked out, right? So let's continue in the story. So Peter and the other disciple is John. So Peter and John started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So John and Peter end up in a foot race, racing to Jesus' tomb, and John gets there first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Okay, John's a little timid. He's like, the grave clothes are in there. There's no body. What's going on? It says, then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple said, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Crazy moment for the disciples, right? Jesus had told them that he was God. He told them that he was going to die for their sins, and he told them that he was going to rise again. But until they actually saw the empty grave, right, the belief follows later, and they see, and John believes. You guys, I don't know, it feels a little zombie-ish to me, right? Like people rising up out of their graves, right? Or a really bad music video. These guys are freaked out, but here's what I don't want you to miss. They ran to Jesus. They ran to where he was, all right? In a foot race. They competed to get there. They wanted to find out what had happened, all right? Now, I want to read you another story about a time when God ran toward us. Okay, do you guys remember the story of the prodigal son? There's a parable that Jesus tells about a man who had two sons, and one was very obedient and followed all the rules and was a good son, and the other was kind of disobedient and messed up and gets angry and decides he wants his inheritance now, as in before his dad had died. He wants all of his money now. So his dad agrees and gives him part of his inheritance, and the guy runs off to a faraway place and spends all his money in wild living. Okay, parties and girls and feasting and all kinds of stuff, wastes all his money and ends up working in a pig trough, basically, for some farmer, right? Trying to eat the food that even the pigs had, right? So the guy ends up basically in starvation and homeless. Dawns on him that he should maybe return home. He on his journey home, okay, he's coming back to his dad, to his dad's place. And this is what his dad does when he sees him. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said, "No, to this servant, go quick. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." You guys, that's a parable that Jesus tells. And in the story, God is the Father, and we are the different sons in the story. Cool thing. That even when you screw up and mess up and are completely rude and disobey God, that if you choose to repent and to turn and to come back to him, that he welcomes you with open arms. More than that, he runs to the son who is remorseful and who is returning back. That's pretty cool. And it's supposed to be a picture of us, you know? So as we think about this, running to God, we need to be doing that to really be chasing after him and to pursue him. But know this, he also runs toward you. And that's a cool thing. All right, so open up your handout if you haven't already. And we're going to talk about how can we run to God? How can we do this together? So here we are. We're going to talk about the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about tonight, run to God. Next time, run to share. And then after that, run from sin. So let's get back to how we can run to God. Four E's, basically. To experience, to engage, to explore, and to equip. So the first one, basically this. You can experience God, but here's what you got to do. You got to try him on. Try him out. You guys ever want to get a pair of shoes? Don't you normally try them on first? Right? Yeah. And if you're like over at one of the sporting goods stores, like they actually have like a little track you can run around and you know, start and stop and check out, see if, you know, if you're getting an athletic pair of shoes or something. Or girls, wouldn't you want to try on, if you're going to buy like a pair of shoes for the dance, wouldn't you want to make sure that they fit good and like aren't going to like give you blisters, right? Here's a weird thing. This might sound funny, and God is not like a shopping commodity. But here's the thing. If you are seeking and you don't know God, how do you get to know God if you don't know God? Well, you have to try him out. You have to try him on. You have to pursue him a little bit. So experience it. Here's what Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Give him a try. You're not sure if you want to follow God or not? Start learning a little bit about God. Start learning a little bit about the Bible. Start trying to follow the things that he asks. And then Matthew 7 says, "Seek him and you will find him." Really cool section about asking and seeking and knocking. And God says, "Look, if you pursue me, you will find me and I will show myself to you," which I think is pretty cool. And then engage. If you have never put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, check this out. You have an opportunity to have a friendship with God. That's pretty wild. That you can put your faith in him for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins. What does that mean? Well, let me just in a real quick way say this. God was the creator of the universe, and he made the first people, Adam and Eve, okay? And he had a very intimate, personal, close relationship with them. They could see him and talk to him, and he walked in the garden with them. And then Adam and Eve chose to sin, to disobey God, and they broke the rules. And God kicks them out of the garden, and that relationship forever was tainted and passed on hereditarily to all the rest of humanity. So we're all born into sin. The Bible says we all have what is called a sin nature, okay? So everybody who's born after that has a messed up relationship with God. You have a selfish heart, and you want selfish things, and you don't desire the things of God. That's just how humanity is. And so God came up with a plan. He knew all along that he was going to rescue you. He wants so desperately to know you and to have a relationship with you that he figured out a way that your sin could be paid for. Sin is basically this, the messed up wrong things that you do. Lying, cussing, cheating, stealing, all those kinds of things, being disobedient, all that falls into that big heading of sin. So the messed up things we do, right? Is anybody without sin? The Bible says no. All are guilty. Everybody's got it, okay? Everybody's got it. Raise your hand if you've sinned in the last month. Messed up, screwed up, did something inappropriate, wrong. Okay, yeah. Because we all have sin stuff in our life, but to different degrees. And the more sin you have in your life, the more you're going to be grateful and need a Savior to forgive and remove all that stuff, right? So here's the deal. God sends his son, Jesus, who's born at Christmas time in a manger and basically was sinless, lived a sinless life for you and me. And then he was able to die on the cross. The Romans killed him. He physically died. They physically put him in a grave. We just read the story about how he had risen again. And if you're not sure if he was God or not, he proves he was God by coming back to life. I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody else who's done that, okay? There's a few people in the Bible who Jesus actually raises from the dead, but Jesus alone has that power. Pretty wild. I wasn't there. I didn't get to see it like John and Peter, and neither did you. So our job is, well, we've got to believe on faith, that we have to put our faith in that that is a true story, and that's what happened. Here's the deal. Your sins can be forgiven. Either you can pay for them, which is totally fine, or you can ask someone else to pay for them. But it can't be someone next to you. It has to be a sinless person. And again, the only sinless person is Jesus. So Jesus dies on the cross for our sin. You can either pay your own, which is fine. But the consequence for that is what? If you pay for your own sin, what happens to your soul? Are you going to be with God? Are you going to be in heaven? No, you're going to be punished. And the Bible says you'll spend eternity apart from God, which is in hell, which is not a place you want to be, right? But God says, look, if you put your faith in Jesus, you can be forgiven and have a relationship with God, a friendship with God, and you don't have to go to hell. You can be go to heaven and you can be forgiven, and you can have a better life now here on earth. You want to do that, or you want to pay for your own? Your call. And that's what it means to engage. A lot of you have already done that. You've already come to that place in your life where you're like, you know what? I gave my life to Christ. I trust and follow, and I put my faith in what he had done. If you're not sure about that, I'm going to pray right now. You have a chance to run to God if you want to right now. Pray with me. God, I know I prayed when I was like 7 years old. And then I prayed again in a big way and really surrendered my heart to you when I was like 14. Got a lot of prayers in between there. But I don't know where these students are at tonight. If they don't know you, if they've never engaged and put their faith in you, Jesus, I want to give them an opportunity right now to say, God, I need you. Would you forgive me for all my sin, past, present, and future stuff that I will do and have done? Would you make me clean? I don't want to pay for my own sin. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be disconnected from you. Would you forgive me? Would you help me to follow you? Help me to run to you? Help me to grow and to know you? In Jesus' name, amen. That's awesome. That's a beginning. That's a starting point. Okay, and we're going to talk about what does that look like in the cycle of faith. That's a starting point. If everybody is a seed and you just prayed that prayer, your seed just sprouted. Okay, if you're a plant, you just began a relationship with God and you're just starting to grow. All right, but what is that seed going to need? What is that sprout going to need? Water and sunlight and some good dirt, right? It's going to need some of that. So we'll get to that in a minute. So that was to engage, to explore. A lot of you might be in this category right now. You've already put your faith in God a long time ago, maybe, or maybe a little while ago. And so you've been reading and learning about God. You've been coming to youth group and going to church. You've put your faith into practice, or maybe you're working on doing that. You guys, you might spend a huge chunk of your life just exploring and growing in your walk with God. James says to put your faith into practice in James 2. And then here's what you would be doing in that area. It would be growing, serving, leading, and maturing. A whole lot of your life may be spent doing those things. Does that mean it's not exciting? No. It can be powerful and it can be good. But here's the thing. As adult leaders, we sat down a couple months ago and we're like, all right, so somebody comes to Christ. What next? what do they do next? Well, you're going to do a lot of this exploring and growing and reading and serving and leading other people and maturing, all right? And then the last one is equip, that now you can spend part of your life and your time helping other people grow and mature in their faith. And you don't have to be an adult to do that. You can do it right now with the friends and family members in your own life right now if you've moved that direction, right? Now, if you've never put your faith in God, you're not going to be able to help somebody else grow in God. But if you have, you're certainly qualified to help them grow. Teach and train others to follow Christ. Here's the idea. What does a plant usually do? Does it just be a plant and then die? Well, normally it reproduces, right? It drops seeds or has some fruit, right? So that more plants or more flowers can come afterward. All right, so I'm going to skip ahead to my picture, all right? So we're talking about plants. So I want you to look at this life cycle of a tree, okay? Here's your seed. Then it starts to sprout, right? Then you've got maybe some leaves. It starts to develop a bigger root system. It turns into a young tree, a growing tree, a more mature tree, and it starts bearing flowers or fruit, okay? And then what happens? Those fall to the ground, and seeds go back into the ground, and more plants or more trees grow, right? So let me ask you this. One of your life group questions tonight is going to be this. If we call this the faith cycle, not just the plant life cycle, if we call this the faith cycle, where are you? What picture best describes you as a person of faith? If you're a seed, you don't know God yet, okay? If you're over here as a seedling, you've just sprouted. Maybe you've just began a relationship with God. You've just started to put your faith in him. Or maybe you're somewhere along these lines, right? You're growing. You've got some leaves or roots. Or maybe you're a young tree. Or maybe you're even producing fruit. You don't have to wait till you're way over here. These two trees can produce fruit. And maybe fruit is coming out of your life, okay? But it's going to be an interesting question for you to evaluate your own heart. And where could you be? So what's the goal? The goal is to be a reproducing tree so that when you die, others will continue to follow Jesus that you have touched and blessed and helped and grow. Does that make sense? When we get to heaven someday, there's going to be people in heaven that you had an impact on. That's awesome, right? That's very cool. So is that an important role? Absolutely. Does that have purpose and meaning? Totally. Here's the thing. We're talking about eternity. We're going to make an impact for eternity. It's going to live on and on and on after we're dead. That is a cool purpose. A lot of people's purpose on this earth right now is temporary and fragile and gone. When they lose their skill or they lose their talent or when they physically die, then their impact is gone and they're forgotten, you know? But this could live on for a long, long time. All right, the Bible uses some fancy words that I totally misspelled, so ignore the misspellings. And if you didn't know they're misspelled, awesome. Justified, sanctified, and glorified, all right? Kind of some big, crazy words. Here's the first one. To path to growth, one, to be justified through Jesus. What does that mean, to be justified? Well, let's talk about the court system real quick. If the judge said that you are justified in defending yourself against the robber who broke into your home, what does that mean? If the judge said you are justified in defending yourself, what does that mean? You had good reason. Take that further. What is the judge going to do? He's going to support you with what kind of a ruling? Guilty or not guilty? What kind of a ruling would the judge give you if he believes you are justified? A fair rule? Well, a not guilty ruling, okay? Let's say you beat the snot out of the robber, okay? And then the robber sues you for beating him up. And you're like, dude, you robbed my house. I kicked your butt. Go to jail, right? So the judge is like, you're not guilty, okay? Here's the thing. God, in a big kind of cosmic way, is this judge. And Jesus is going to judge us for our actions, right? Whether you have put your faith in him or not is where it's going to end up being. Basically this. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you are justified. You are forgiven and found not guilty for your sin. That's great news, right? That's great news. You guys, that is just the beginning. That is just putting your faith in Jesus. That's just the beginning. A lot of you were justified a long time ago when you put your faith in Christ. Or maybe just now when you prayed. That's cool. Being sanctified is what's going to happen for the rest of your life. It is basically this. By the Holy Spirit, okay, him working in you, that you become more and more like Christ over time. That your character, who you are on the inside, what you're being, okay, and your obedience, what you do, those two things working together helps you grow and become more and more and more and more like Jesus. That's a good thing. All right. So what is your job in the meantime? After you come to Christ, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to grow. What does that mean? Well, you're supposed to be sanctified. The Holy Spirit is going to work in you to develop your character and your behavior to be more and more and more like Christ as you grow older and older and older. Okay. What's the point of all that? Well, it's this bottom one, to be glorified, that God the Father might receive glory, that he would be glorified by your life, living your life to bring glory and honor to God. Basically, I wanted to give you three different pictures, okay? One, this tree life cycle. Two, the one we just did, justified, sanctified, glorified. And the first one we talked about finally engaging and experiencing God. All right, so up on the wall behind me is basically some construction signs that spell the word growth, and you've got that in your thing. So how does a person grow, right? These aren't brand new to you guys. All right, so the first one, growth. This is taken from Youth for Christ. The G is to go to God daily in prayer. How many of you guys, maybe on a regular basis, pray? You guys pray, connect with God, ask God for help for stuff, okay? That's not a new concept, right? But praying is talking to God. In your handout, I gave you some tips on a way that you could pray. There's probably 50 different ways that you could find different strategies to pray. In your handout is just some tips on one way to do it. A lot of times all we do is ask God for stuff. And the tips that I gave you in there are more along the lines of being thankful and praising God for some things, confessing some stuff, and then taking some time to share your needs later. And even some time to listen to God. All right, so R, read the Bible every day. And maybe it's not every day. Maybe it's just regular. Spend regular time in God's word. Why is that important? So you can know him more. You guys, one of the primary ways that we know God, because we can't see and touch and feel and talk to him right here, is to read the Bible because it's his word, right? You guys, that gets old. Is that okay for me to say? Here's what I want to do. I want to take 3 or 4 minutes, and I want you guys to help me think of creative ways that you can spend some time with God. So I'm going to get the whiteboard out, and I want you guys to give me ideas, creative ways that you can spend some time with God. All right, you can just fill up the whole board with all kinds of ideas. All right, what are some creative ways that you could do to spend some time with God? Devotional, like reading a devotional book or magazine, something like that. Talk to people around you about God. Okay, all right, so you're learning more about God from some older people who've known God longer, maybe. Yeah, maybe some mentoring in there somewhere, or just picking their brain, getting some wisdom. To journal, okay? Talk to him in different settings. Outside, one of my favorite ways to connect with God is out in nature. Any of you guys enjoyed, like, you know, going for a walk outside in the woods or on the mountains or on the beach? Worshiping God, totally. And we could probably make a whole other list, Logan, of ways we could worship. Write a song, do some poetry, sing a song. Doesn't even have to be music. Okay, you and your friends meet together, and so you spend some time with God together. Maybe the three of you or four of you, you read something together, or you journal together, or you challenge each other. I like that. All right, other ways you can spend some time with God, some good time with God. Anybody ever go for a walk? Anybody like to exercise and spend time with God? Last summer, you know what I do? I made up a playlist on my phone, and I put it in, and then I go walk a mile and just listen to worship music the whole time. That's good. It's good. It was refreshing. Service. Okay, so maybe you spend some time with God by serving others and helping people. That can be rewarding. Yep. All right, I have some other ideas I want to throw out to you, okay? Nelly, can you put up our website? I don't know if you guys know, but we have a website, and on our website we've got articles that basically are kind of like devotionals or time with God that students and leaders have written. So we've got a brand new one up there that Kyla just wrote called Imperfect, or Perfectly Impossible. There's one about the roller coaster. There's one that Tom did on No Regrets. You can scroll down there. There's all kinds of different topics, self-esteem, stupidity, trust, worry. There's one on the apple of your eye, which is about lust, parasailing morons, final exams. What else we got? Happiness, hope, money, self-image, loneliness, trust, all kinds of good stuff. You guys, I would love for you to get on there and use that if that's your style, if that helps you grow, to read an article that another student or leader wrote. Some of you guys are still writing some stuff. I got one from Alyssa that I'm working on, waiting on one from Thomas. I think Kai's putting one together. Would love for you guys to help each other grow. That's really cool. I got on the Bible app this week. How many of you guys have a Bible app on your phone or a device? A bunch of you? So I've got the Holy Bible one, the little brown one, book one. I don't know if you guys have that one by whoever. I forget who it's by. But if I click on there, YouVersion, that's who does it. If you go to at the bottom where it says plans or reading plans, there's a whole section just for teenagers. And there's probably 50 different topics for teenagers to read about. I clicked on one, and I just started a plan that another youth group wrote, which I thought was pretty cool, called No Grow, Go, and Show. But I don't know if you guys can see, you can like scroll through the pictures and you can find a topic, and then it'll be like 4 or 5 days on that. It gives you something to read, and then it gives you some Bible verses that go with it. If you're like a technology person, great way to connect with God. Find a way to do it, whether it's on our website, whether it's on your phone, whether it's just grabbing a good old-fashioned paper Bible, whether it's going for a walk or doing some poetry, whatever it takes for you to connect, do this to run to God. Madeline, thank you. I think we're good. Nice picture, by the way. All right, guys, we're going to cruise through this here. The next one is obey God moment by moment. So don't just read the Bible and then put it away. Actually put it into practice. Start doing the things that God asks us to do. Worship in a local church. You're in a church right now. But worship God here in the youth group on Sunday morning. Engage, connect, help other people do that. And lots of different ways to worship besides being in a church, besides even music. You could do lots of different things to worship God. You could even do a cool like art project, or maybe you could worship God by sacrificing something in your life. Okay? So maybe you're like, you know what, I'm going to give up this chunk of video game time, or this dessert, or this chunk of money I usually spend on Starbucks, or I'm going to give up buying a pair of shoes this time so that I could give money to the kids in Honduras and buy some toothbrushes like we talked about before, or some school supplies. Maybe you worship by doing something like that, sacrificing something that's important to you. And then telling others about God, we're going to get to that when we talked about running to share. But part of your role, part of our job as a group of followers of God is to tell the people that God loves them and wants to be with them. And then the Holy Spirit, let him direct your life. I know the Holy Spirit is kind of a weird topic. Invisible consciousness in your mind that helps you follow God and remember the things of God, okay? Not just a normal conscience, but God's Spirit living in you that he promised and gives to everybody who puts their faith in him. I know it's weird and kind of funky, but he can help you not sin. He can help you grow. He can help you love others when you don't want to. Does that make sense a little bit? All right, so I'm going to cruise through the last section here. I gave you some tips on prayer. Those are just a resource for you. I encourage you to look up the Bible verses if you want something to read about. And then some tips on reading the Bible. Hey, not sure how to study the Bible? Here's 3 quick tips that you can use to study it. Observe, interpret, and apply. And those are spelled wrong too. Apologize for that. What's the big idea or main point, and what's the context? That's how you observe. Maybe make a few notes. Interpret. What did it mean back then? And then what does it mean now? And then apply it. How does it apply to your life right now? And put it into practice. Don't just learn it. Actually live it, right? So on the back of your handout, I gave you a blank sample, right? Here's what I want you to do this week. Take this serious. Okay? And actually get into the Bible and start reading it and learning it and studying it for yourself. Okay? Here's my challenge to you guys, and I'm going to encourage our leaders and myself to do this with you, and it's this. To do the Proverbs 31-day challenge. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. There are usually between 30 or 31 days in a month, right? Whatever the date on the calendar is, read that chapter. Okay? So, for example, today is the 17th. You would read Proverbs chapter 17. But here's actually where I want you to start. Start either tonight or tomorrow. Read Proverbs chapter 1 just so you can understand the book and the context. Okay? Then start the 31-day challenge and read whatever the date is. Pick that chapter and read the whole chapter. You don't have to write down all the ideas. Then do what's on the back of your paper. Make an observation about what's the big idea or main point. Interpret that. What did it mean back then? What does it mean today? Sometimes that's the same thing. Sometimes it's different. And then put it into practice. Here's what's cool about Proverbs. It's a bunch of quick, witty sayings that oftentimes the entire chapter doesn't necessarily go together. So you could pull out 2 or 3 verses that really fit, okay? And then you could be like, all right, I'm just going to take those main ideas. So Sometimes the chapter's big, sometimes it's small. But do me this favor. Find a way to get into the Word. Find a way to run to God in this coming year, 2017. Start the year off right. And I'm just going to pray and ask God to help you to grow. Here's what I'd love for you to do. Make it a commitment in your life groups to say, all right, I'm going to take the Proverbs challenge. Let's ask each other next time we get together, what's one thing you learned out of Proverbs this week? Maybe we can start getting a little bit of traction on spending some time with God, all right? All right, pray with me. God, sometimes I'm weak, and sometimes I'm lazy, and sometimes I just don't want to spend time with you, and I feel bad about that. God, as these guys' leader and friend, I'm embarrassed to say, I just don't spend enough time with you. I don't spend time with you that's just me and you like I need to. God, I'm sorry. I want to be a guy who runs after you, who runs to you and runs to know you. God, would you help these students? I imagine that some of them maybe wrestle with that too. That life can get so busy and our schedules can get so full, or even our desire could just be low. God, would you increase our desire to know you? Would you free up our hearts and our time? Would you help us to set aside and carve out, you know, 10, 15 minutes to be with you, to know you? God, would you help us to read your word? Would you help us to worship? Would you help us to pray? Would you help us to find creative ways so that it's not just stale and boring? God, would you help us to have a vibrant, life-giving relationship with you? God, we need your help. The enemy wants to beat us down and wants to make us hide and not come to you when we mess up. God, would you help us to keep coming back to you time and time again? You open your arms and you run toward us and embrace us in our failures. God, would you help us to follow you? Would you help us to grow? God, would you help us to be like that tree life cycle, that you'd grow deep roots in our life? Help us to grow rich branches that bear lots of fruit, and that our lives would be multiplied and our faith would be multiplied in the lives of our friends. In Jesus' name, amen.